G'day everybody. Sorry I'm running a little bit late. Just had a little bit of excitement trying to post the questions and screenshots and all sorts of things to get them to get them so I could read them for the live talk. And I can't say I'm much of a guru on the old technology front yet, but anyway, maybe when I'm 100 I might get some idea how to do it. Anyway, drove into Canberra today. And I saw Jenny, you've got a question just a comment at the end of this. Thank you for letting me stay there, Jenny. I just finished a clinic at Yugara, 3-day clinic at a property out there, and had a nice little group, and we braved some pretty cold weather yesterday, and first time I've done a little bit of indoor study kind of work, and gave everyone some homework to go home with. But it was a really good clinic, and interesting batch of horses. But thank you, Jenny, for hosting me there. But I'm in Canberra today, and drove into Canberra, and it looks like I'm driving into the Alps. The mountains around Canberra got snow on them, and a bit of a cold snap coming through from the south. So but it's lovely to see the snow on the mountains, something you don't get to see too often in Australia unless you go to the Alps. So it's lovely. So I've got the questions all posted, so I've got to flick through them, and hopefully I joined them together well enough that I don't get too confused. So Karen, you've got the first question there. How to get a mini horse to stop being pushy and biting leading, and when trying to get in his yard, the flag doesn't work. He just comes and bites it. I don't want to fight with him, making a noise, banging something, etc. He stops, then wants to investigate, usually with his mouth. What happens with horses is they get quite, you got the interested kind of nosy horses that want to know about everything, and they've got a lot of confidence around us and things like that. So they, a lot of things don't bother them. And there's a lot of horses that grow up in a human environment that flags, anything like that's not gonna really, loud noises. It doesn't kind of change their thought well enough, because they're kind of like, what was that? Not really fussed about that. Yesterday and the day before at a clinic, had a very interesting horse that really got really, its thoughts were going everywhere all the time, and it was either over there, it was a little pushy, it was kind of bouncing around, and really sort of struggling with its emotions. And the best part of the clinic, we were trying to teach the horse how to center better by centering the person better, and getting the horse in a better frame of mind to learn and take on information. And you have to be very careful when using tools. You don't dull horses to tools and things like that. So something I was doing with this particular horse is, it was just like a flinch reflex, a very fast flinch reflex. Because I was doing another lesson, and I was standing with the horse just to sort of give the owner an idea of if you can be there in the right frame of mind, that horse will settle with you. So I was teaching, but at the same time, just in the back of my mind, I knew that this horse was there, and with my secondary focus I had the horse there, and I could feel her doing things with me. And if I thought the things that she was doing were just a little bit heavy, as in her energy and intention, and it was a little bit, I'm nudging, pushing you in a certain way, or I'm getting fidgety about it and things like that, whether it be nibbly in a way that you don't want, because you don't always want pushy nibbly, I basically would have a very reactive flinch. Now a very reactive flinch might be like that, like you just flinch really quickly when that horse is really, really close to your skin, and that flinch might give them a little bump. It's not gonna sort of, you're not get whacking them or bumping them hard, but it's just a really reactive little flinch, and they'll go, oh, maybe you didn't want that. It's almost like when you see a horse, a fly lands on a horse, and they've got that real good way of going, their skin kind of quickly wobbles and flicks like that, so it's kind of like a flinch reaction, a little like that. And it's so sort of quick and reactive in the way you do it that the horse goes, oh, what was that? And they investigate again, and then you get that flinch again, and they go, oh, well, I won't do that again. I mightn't try that. And for those kind of mouthy, nibbly horses, that works quite well. Instead of kind of banging your leg or doing something like that, that they just go, oh, what's that? What's going on? And it's more of a natural body reaction instead of a mechanical tool kind of reaction. So, and you know, for people that are not aware of, you know, some of my stuff and why I use a tool or a flag or something like that is so I don't have to have aggressive body language, which I don't want to have. So I can pop a flag, change a horse's thought, but still stand there very calmly. So for the nervous horses that are just starting to investigate me or anything like that, or they get a little distracted and that distraction is causing them anxiety, well, if I pop the flag, then I can stay centered and calm. So that's why the flag is effective. But for the horses are very confident and things like that, well, you've got to sort of say, hey, that's not working. Okay, I'm not happy with that, because you're allowed to have things that you're not happy with as the horses. You know, a horse goes up to another horse and says, you want to play fight? And either horse either goes, no, I'm not interested, I'm going to walk away, or no, I'm not interested, go away at the moment. Okay, and they have those conversations all the time. So it's okay to say to that little pony, no. Now, there are times, you know, I really try and encourage people not to constantly push their horses away and say, I'm the dominant alpha one, get away from me. But there are times that horses, if they come into your boundary and they keep doing it, you've got to make your boundary clear. So sometimes you might have to step up in a stronger way and say no as they hit your boundary. Don't wait till they get all the way in and then put them all the way out, because that really, in the long run, never works in providing them clarity, in the sense of they get in, only get pushed out. You've got to show them where your boundary is. So can I make a clear boundary and say, listen, I don't want you to come into my space while you're in that frame of mind. So either if he's close to you, you can have that flinch reflex to say, he goes, whoa, I see that. Or you can just say, this is my boundary at the moment, and it's just out of my space. And until your mind's centered and you're not so wriggly and all over the place, you don't be near me close enough to fiddle and fidget and things like that. So I would probably teach him to lead a little away a little bit and say, I don't want you in my space when you've got strong energy like that. And when he softens his energy, as I mean strong energy, you know, they kind of come in like a little bit of a tidal wave, and you always feel a little bit uncomfortable, just like somebody who approaches you with a little too much intention and energy, you feel uncomfortable and you want to step back. So I would say, this is my bubble, don't come in until you're a little softer, and not have him so close until he settles down and just gets a little bit more centered and calm and thoughtful about what he's doing. And they all will get calm and thoughtful about what they're doing. And then when they investigate, they tend to investigate in a softer way, because they've hit the boundary a couple of times and went, oh, okay, I'll be careful now. And I'll, you know, like when a young foal comes in a bit mouthy with older horses and softer and careful, kind of almost asking, can I come in, you know? And you kind of want them a bit like that if they've been a little pushy in the past. So Karen, thanks for that question. And the thing with minis and things like that, you know, a lot of little horses get a little bit of a bad reputation. And what I say is, a lot of minis get trained not enough because they're such small horses. So you know, sometimes you go, oh, it's only a mini, it's small. Oh, you know, the kids can just play with it and do stuff with it, or this and that and the other. And a lot of them are really nice little horses, and they're just like big horses, just in a smaller version. You know, little Shetlands, I really like them. So generally it's because they don't get as much education as the big horses, and they never get started, you know, in the same process or things like that as the big horses. I'm not saying all of them don't, but I come across a lot that do, and unfortunately, because of that lack of education and understanding, then there's all these little traits in there that the breed gets blamed for, but it's only because of the lack of education. So yeah, thanks very much for the question, Karen. And just going down to the next one here, Anne Knox. So Ian, I think yours is pasted together, so hopefully I'll get the two together right. I have a rising 4-year-old gelding who is fairly placid and I think connected. He seems to really enjoy human interaction. However, if he doesn't particularly want to go somewhere, example, in the wash bay, if he's not in the mood, he'll just plant his plant and pulls back. He doesn't get upset or worried, just plants, fiddles with the lead rope, etc. I can drive him forward and problem solved, and assuming that's not the best way to go about it. But do I move him up when he doesn't want to? I don't want to do this. I don't want this to be an option for him under saddle. He's not nasty, more like a kid. He doesn't want to go. I just got to move this up a little bit now. He doesn't want to go brush his teeth and gets whiny about it. Just going to the next pass to pass your question. Okay, I think that's all your question there. So, with that horse, education is a big thing. So, just sort of to give you an idea, I come across a lot of horses that have floating issues. They get to the clinics and stuff, but they have some floating issues, and those floating issues. There's obviously issues with the float, so there's obviously issues that the horse is not so confident in the wash bay, and that's one thing that you have to really look into. But you can't get a horse, well you can, but you don't want to be going and getting the horse confident with all these things. You need tools to help them. The reason you need tools to help them, as in understanding our questions, that's what I mean by tools, not tools like, you know, mechanical tools that make the horse do something. What I mean is the questions we ask the horse has to understand and be very confident with. And the most common thing I come across and cause of anxiety is the horse is not understanding our questions, whether it be the reins or the rope or anything like that. So when it comes to the wash bay, you've got to think about it as well. Firstly, before I even get to the wash bay, how well does my horse lead? When I pick up on the feel of the lead on his head, does he get a nice forward thought? Does he come forward? If he was to step back into it, does he know not to step back into it and he always will come forward softly to that? How many times have I done that transition? So I can guarantee that no matter how quickly I pull that lead, he's guaranteed to come forward. And so what I would say is, away from the wash bay, do 55,000 leading transitions, which means backwards into forwards, into forwards, into backwards, come forwards a little faster. Can you come forwards fast when I'm close under the clip, or you know, under the holder close? And I would do a lot of leading lessons where the horse loosens and softens, and basically there's not a brace when your horse comes forward. He doesn't lift his head up, plant his feet. So something I'm talking a lot about at clinics now, like just another way of explaining things and talking about brace, is the horses, a lot of horses, as soon as you touch on their head, there's a brace that goes through their whole body. So I work a lot on leading pressure, rein positions, things like that. So no matter where you put that horse, it's always in balance, okay? So what happens is a horse gets out of balance and then it gets back in balance, okay? And it's seeking that balance that the horse moves its body around and moves its feet. Some horses get stuck in brace and they stay out of balance and then they get hung up in that brace, so it turns into like a freeze in their body. So when you're working in lead pressure and things like that, you're constantly always fixing that brace. If you push back, the horse loosens and backs up. If you come forward, it loosens and comes forward. If you push off to the side a little bit, in a certain way, the shoulders just move across and there, and you can push off the other way, the shoulders move that way. If you're leading the horse and add a little bit of indirect feel, the horse will just move his hips around while you're leading him, little things like that. All those things are so important that horse loosens every time you touch the lead or the rein, loosens and prepares its body. So all that leading is important, because one day when a horse is hard tied or inside a horse float tied up, or someone accidentally undid the breeching bar, like the other night someone accidentally put their horse in, tied it up, didn't do the breeching bar up, luckily nothing happened, but it was dark, headlights are on, big opportunity for that horse to go boom. So, and he does that when he wants to stay in the paddock. So basically, go to the paddock and teach him to lead in the paddock where he's happy, and then go out further. The next thing, once I've done a fair bit of leading, is I'll just get a little bit of flag or a bit of a worry and wave it in the air a little bit, and it'll bring the horse's thoughts forward. But sometimes they'll look at the flag, get a little anxious and step back, and you just set on the lead, and then he'll step back into that pressure and come forward again. And he'll, until basically eventually, no matter what's in front of him, he thinks forward and he knows follow that feel forward. And I would do a lot of that work, and then I'd take him back to the wash bay. Then at the wash bay, I would actually walk sideways past the wash bay, or if a horse float or anything like that, looking with one eye, looking with the other eye, and then gently wait a little bit on a longer line and let him kind of sniff and have a look at it, and then ask him in and ask him out until you're just like loading on a horse float. Come in one step, come out one step. So you know he goes in softly and out softly. So by the time you put him in the wash bay, he's backed out of it 100 times. Or 50 times, maybe hundreds of, you know, it all depends on the horse, I suppose, and how nervous it is. But you'll find out when the horse is kind of moving around near the wash bay where he's nervous, what eye he's more nervous on, which part of the wash bay he's probably scared of. So with good leading, which you've worked on away from the wash bay, and then a little bit of time understanding his nervous bubbles near the wash bay, where he sort of wants to look and a bit nervous, and let him wait a little and look. But then once he's looked and kind of investigated, then you can say, now step up. But the step up tool's gonna work, okay? And really, a lot of horses, even ones that don't lead that well, that I have to help get somewhere at a clinic that haven't had a lot of leading or haven't had good quality leading, generally I can just pick up a feel, get their attention, and they'll go thoughts forward, because a horse will always go towards his thoughts, eventually. Not all the time straight away. They'll look at something going, well, my thoughts are there, but I'm worried and I don't want to go there. But a lot of horses get to a wash bay or something and their thoughts just go backwards. And by the sounds of him, when he leaves the paddock, his thoughts stay backwards. So the idea is get good quality leading. But also, if you see his thoughts go back and he gets a little stuck, you could say, hey, over here. And you'll go, forwards, thoughts. And then you say, lead up towards your thoughts. So and that's an easy way to get the horses, you know, distract them from their backward thought, get them leading forward. But the best thing you do is just a lot of leading transitions, and then those horses can tie up anywhere. They can, you know, safety first, big thing. That's why I'm big on leading and reins in clinics, because it's one of those things that everyone grabs for, and it's the one thing I see the most brace in. So I tend to go and try and, you know, get in and work on that brace the most. Thanks very much, Anne, for the question. It's a common thing, leading into areas and leading problems. So just go on to the next question. So we've got Rhonda Marie. What is your take on how to work with a horse when they are pinning their ears? Now, I get a lot of horses that pin their ears. The interesting thing about it is when horses pin their ears, obviously they're having a hard thought. There's something that they're not liking, you know, when they pin their ears at another horse. And there's sometimes horses pin their ears because we walk into their space and they're uncomfortable. Like when another horse, you know, you see a couple of horses, new horses, and another horse walks up to the other horse and pins their ears and says, no, no, I'm not happy with you. I don't want you near me. So if a horse is pinning their ears at you, sometimes that's what they're saying, and you've got to be careful about that. So one thing I'd say about pinning their ears is when I walk up to a horse and they just pin their ears and say, I'm not happy with that, I just wait a little, sometimes step back. If the horse just pins its ears and says, hey, I'll step back a little and just wait out of its space or out of its bubble until it kind of relaxes a little, and then I'll try again. And gently kind of work on the bubble until the horse is a little more accepting and understanding. So I might work in and out of that horse for a while, because they're kind of saying go away, but if you step back and wait a little, you've just acknowledged the fact that you stepped into their space and they're uncomfortable with it. So that's what I, you know, really want to work on, like catching a young horse. Then working it when it's got its ears pinned, you've got to think, how are you working the horse? So sometimes when you're leading out in front of a horse, even foals and stuff, because they're following you, they kind of think like they're chasing you because you're in front of them and moving away. And sometimes they pin their ears and kind of chase you along a bit like they're, you know, king of the universe. and they got it over you. And those little horses like that that are pinning their ears when they follow me, I just turn around and face them and smile, and they go, oh, I wasn't doing anything. But when you were turned around and working away, I was pushing you along, and I was pretty brave. So those little horses, I'll just change their thought by turning around. Horses that pin their ears so a lot of horses pin their ears through the way we educate them. The one biggest problem I've seen in education over the last 10 or so years that I've been like helping people with clinics and lessons is how they present information and how they ask their questions. And a lot of horsemanship in the sense of a lot of training, especially groundwork, is sometimes too strongly based on moving the horse away from pressure, almost like a bit of an alpha relationship. So now horses don't like being pushed away in the pecking order. They don't like being pushed down the pecking order. So if we're working our horses in a way that pushes them down the pecking order, then they're going to pin their ears and, you know, often get a bit upset about it, or a lot upset about it. And there are some pretty unhappy horses at the bottom of the pecking order. So to train them like that would be very unfair to that horse, and often cause a strong disconnection and a strong bad feeling in the horse every time you go and ask them to do things. So and basically to take that on board, you have to really, you know, it's like rebooting a computer. You've got to reboot your whole philosophy on training, in the sense of how can I get a horse to go towards its thoughts, not away from its thoughts, or how do I kind of get a horse to go towards its focus, not away from its focus all the time. So horses that pin their ears sometimes are kind of going away from their focus. You know, it's like having, what I mean by going away from focus is, could you imagine walking along having a kind of knowing that there's a spider crawling around on your back, and your thoughts are behind you going, what's that thing crawling around on my back? And you're kind of like this all the time. You're going to carry a lot of anxiety, and you're not really going to be balanced in what you're doing. Going towards your thoughts is like, I'm going over there because I want to go over there, I'm looking over there, and I'm going over there. Most animals feel comfortable with that. Horses feel comfortable with that. So basically, you've got to encourage that horse to be going towards his thoughts. And pinning ears is something that happens when a horse is not searching and thinking. It's unhappy with our questions, and I could go on with 100 different things about, you know, how we can sort of help the pinning ears. But basically, if your energy is moving your horse around a lot, and you're stepping into your horse, and you're carrying your horse around, as in the horse is not making conscious decisions, you're just kind of carrying it with your energies and all that sort of thing, then the horse will constantly have pinned ears. The pinny ears. I mean, the pinny ears. There's the back kind of set ears, which are kind of the shut down kind of I'm not happy ears, and then there's the more pinny ears. I'm guessing you're talking about those hard pinny ears that are like, they're sending eye daggers to you or another horse or something like that. And that one, it comes through listening to them and operating them in a way that is more better for their searching process. And the other thing is, everything we do, we have to take the brace out of a horse. Now, brace, people might just think it's a physical knot of tension in the horse, and then suddenly it unlocks and loosens. So a brace comes from a mental brace, and it comes from a reaction. It'll come from unlocking a hard thought, changing that thought, and then the body will soften accordingly to that. And a lot of those horses, pinny-eared horses, you can kind of work them through a rein, through anything like that. And if you can kind of hang in there until they release that hard thought, then you'll distract them. So like another thing is, you walk up to a horse with pinny ears and you might go, hey, like that, and step back, and the horse will go, whoop, and then you've changed that thought. And then you just wait a little bit, and then you'll maybe walk up to that horse and it'll pin its ears, and you'll just go, hey, and step back, and the horse will go, whoop. And you'll see the eyes round and the ears come forward, and you'll change that hard-looking thought to a more like, "Oh, what's that?" And the whole face will change. And, you know, sometimes you can distract those thoughts and help horses that are a little bit chronic with it. but listening to them is very important. So yeah, thanks for that question, because yeah, I could go, it's a big subject in itself, but hopefully that gives you some ideas, Rhonda. Carol, okay, hi Mark. I was at a recent Lochinvar clinic with my grey Arabian blue. You explained the tacking exercise, and I tried that at home thinking he wanted to be with his paddock buddy. However, so yeah, I remember that horse in the clinic. However, he went straight past him and headed in the direction of home. We were trying this in a paddock half a kilometre from home where it's flat. Blue didn't show anxiety, but he did at Lochinvar. More of the stuff you, I want my type behaviour. Any suggestions? Just going to see down here. Yeah, because your question goes a little further here. Any suggestions? Yeah, I got to find the spot where I... Recently took him to a clinic where there was an obstacle course in a large arena space, some groundwork to do, slow walk, fast walk, mirroring, also some ridden tasks around other horses, and he was fantastic for all of it, calm, responsive, willing to try obstacles like the bridge, focused on what we were doing. However, the next day he went on a very short trail ride, only walking plenty of space between horses, but it was a disaster. Blue was highly agitated, like he was going to lose his mind, wanting to jig-jog, throwing his feet and Arabian neck roll around, very braced. I'm at a loss to know how to solve the issues around the other horses in a training situation. So, Blue, you know, they all have their moments of anxiety, and there's certain things that cause more worry in the cup, and some environments can, a horse can sort of settle into, some environments can blow them up. What I remember in Blue, there still needs to be a lot of work done on him really truly understanding the reins, the legs, the questions. So he needs, I think, by the sounds of his anxiety, you need to sort of, I wouldn't take him into that environment to start with. If he does that too many times in that environment, then he will start to go, every time I go out with a mob, it's like I lose it and I can't cope. And that anticipation is almost like, it's almost like you're guaranteed that's going to happen, like a horse is guaranteed to scramble every time it goes in a horse play. It's not going to just randomly not scramble. You have to actually teach it not to scramble. Same with the horses, you know, like your horse. An example is, I took my horse to the show for the first time, led it round the show, and it just kind of did okay. Then the next time I took it to the show, it was absolutely off its trolley. What happens is, first, naive, a little bit shut down, not really sure. Second time going, geez, that was an emotional experience. And all of a sudden, you know, and then third time at the show, it's worse again, because the horse never got helped at the show. It never got into a better place. So with him, I think in those environments, like the tacking, I think I remember we maybe did a little bit with him, was also bringing back to where he's comfortable and educating where he's comfortable. So around the horses he's comfortable, or the environment he's comfortable, use that environment as a base, like the center of a flower, like the pollen in the middle. And you can start to sort of teach him stuff in there. But first of all, let him center with you. He's with you. Walk him out of that area, as in that the bubble, that, you know, that the pollen in the middle of the flower, and he'll start to get to a point that he gets anxious. But you can always turn him back to come back further into where he's more comfortable again, and I would work on that for a while with him. But while you're in that safe area, you're going to be really working on the steering, the backing, and is he thinking the corners? Like the hardest thing, I don't have a lot of methods anymore. I, you know, I used to try all these different methods of trying to cool horses down, but I'm doing that less and less these days. I'm tending to just say, get on your horse and is it with you? Full stop. Center yourself, ground yourself. Even if you think you're standing on the ground, your horse is just underneath you, I don't care. Is your horse with you? When you ask it to walk a step, did it get anxious, or did it walk a step softly with you? Did it throw its horses, did it throw its thoughts to the end of the arena or the end of the paddock when you ask it to take one step, or did it step with you? If it didn't, take that step with you, stop it, center, ask again. And when you come to a corner or a turn, are you steering in balance? If the horse is not steering in balance, well, I don't ride around the arena for a long time with the horse out of balance. I wait in that environment where the horse is comfortable, and I just teach it to lead out on the rein till it actually steers in balance, where its thoughts and its body are in balance with the turn. Because then I know the horse can go from that thought to this thought effectively. Because if the horse is not turning in balance, you're not changing its thoughts with the reins. It's just going around like going like that. So you get that right in that comfortable environment, and then you take the horse out, and when that horse gets a little anxious, you use that balanced rein which you've taught to say, reset and think over here, that'll make you feel better. And you might steer the horse back towards the place it likes, and then let him sort of settle a little bit or center a little bit, and then just take him back out. And what'll happen is you might have a flower where you've got your bit in the middle, and those petals are only tiny petals. And the horse can only go out and draw a little tiny petal out there until he kind of got to come back and he's nervous. But as you do that and go through the middle of the flower here and back out here, what'll start to happen is he'll grow bigger petals. And then all of a sudden those petals will turn into a new direction where the horse can go further away, comfortable, and think in new directions. So tacking is part of the process of getting a horse to think in a new direction. If anyone doesn't know what I mean by tacking, tacking is something sailors do. So bad sailors get lazy, put down the sails, start up the diesel motor and just go, I'm just going to go straight into the wind and just don't use the diesel motor. So people, what I say, the diesel motor is your legs. So you're going to kick the horse straight into the wind because it wants to go backwards because it's getting pushed back. It's not getting pushed back, it's actually ultimately getting pulled back by the magnetism of wanting to be home. So you're actually, by kicking the horse forward, you're going kick, 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 and using your diesel motor, chug, 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 chug. But a good sailor doesn't start the diesel motor, they keep the sails up. Now, what's going to keep that horse moving is the desire to go back to where it wants to be. So that desire just flips that horse. And if you turn that horse like that, what happens? It goes back down to where it wants to be. So you just go, hey, I'm going to turn you to there. And the horse will fall back around here a little bit. And it keeps those feet moving, keeps that boat floating, yeah? So you don't have to use your legs and waste them kicking your horse out. And eventually, you're going like this. Oh, I can go back there, but no, that door's closed. I can go back there, but that door's closed. And all of a sudden, the horse goes, well, if that door's closed, tried it. But I'm getting more confident now, and no one's pushing me. So what's over there? I might go out there. And that's what they do in tacking. So you can use that tacking too, but the flower sort of is more important to get that horse and acknowledge how far it can go comfortably before it actually starts to get anxious. And you can actually let them turn back or anticipate where they're getting a little anxious and turn them back yourself and say, I'll take you out, I'll take you home. So good for any horses, young horses, to teach him to trail ride, things like that. And I would build up his confidence and slowly grow those, you know, petals into big petals that actually stretch out over your whole property or your whole district till you can ride him for 100 kilometres and he's not going to worry too much about that. The other thing is you still have to put him in environments with other horses, but don't just throw him in the deep end with 10 horses and tools that aren't quite effective. So I'll just move down a little now. Thanks very much for that question, because you know that's at clinics, the separation anxiety under saddle. So the last part of the question I just missed, which I'll just quickly add to that one is, I'm at a loss to know how to solve that issue in a trail riding situation. So I would have one or two friends that you can sort of ride with, and I would put them in an environment where you can get comfortable with them and see how he is around them, if he's comfortable. So what I would do is, and what I used to do on long, you know, my trail clinics and things like that, and even for in Glen Innes, we used to just ride around each other till the horses were just comfortable in a small environment, just gently riding around each other. But if he was starting to get a bit sticky with the horses, you ride out, and what you do is you might ride away from the horses only a few metres and ride back through the horses, so they're the centre of the flower. So you're on a bit of a trail ride, but you just get your friends with the quieter horses to sort of move along at a steady pace, and they become the centre of the flower. And then what you do is, so my gimbal just changed. It's going crazy on me. Whoopsie. Uh-oh. I'll take it out of the gimbal. I think the gimbal had a fit. So you use those horses as the centre of the flower, and then basically what starts to happen is you ride through the middle and away, and through the middle and away, just around them. He can come back through them, and then after a while he knows that you take him back, and you can take him away, and you take him back and take him away until he's going, well, I can go out and do bigger pedals around and things like that. And that sort of, usually most horses I've had, settles them in, and you know, they know that if you're not going to take them away forever, they start to realize that they can, you know. So and it goes back to the, you know, what I talk about all the time about the, you know, the worry cup is they get a shot of worry in the cup, tip it out, do whatever it takes to tip it out. If that's take it back to the middle of the flower where the other horses are, tip it out there, go out again. And after a while, one shot of worry will only go in the cup, but it'll take at least 100 metres to put that shot of worry in, and then eventually there won't be that shot of worry in the cup. So, yeah, anyway, thanks very much for that, because that's probably the most common riding problem is anxiety and being stuck with other horses emotionally. And a lot of it, as people have probably heard me say before, connection and separation anxiety is only connection disability. So you've got to think of it like that. Okay, Dawn. I see you on there, Dawn, too. Hello. Oh, there's a few on there now. So hello, everybody. Hi, Mark. I'm working with a young 5-year-old quarter horse who is amazing in every way. She's needing to have more experiences to help her confidence and trust me when we head out on trail, often on our own. She's very looky. I'm okay with this until she gets fixated on something. Then I gently redirect her attention. This seems to work unless it is something very worrying. Then redirecting her just puts her in a spin back to the thing. Redirect, spin back. She gets bouncy on her feet, head tosses, and just keeps spinning to look at that thing. In cases like this, instead of redirecting her, should I just encourage her to stand and observe, or could this be, keep going up, 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 up. We've lost a question. This might be my bad pasting. We'll try and sort this out. I'll start with the answer anyway. So if I miss it, I'll come back online again and get it, because there's a bit in my pasting that I must have missed. So Dawn, with your horse, there's a lot of horses like that. When I was in Glen Innes, mainly in Glen Innes, I used to train a lot of hot-blooded horses and Arabians, and you've got a quarter horse that's quite a looky quarter horse, which is good. I like an aware horse. I like a horse that tells you 500 metres away that there's something over there that is a little bit worried about, because you got 500 metres to figure out how you're going to get that horse confident with it. So opposed to the horse that gets to the object and goes, Jesus, bucks you off and runs home. So I think it's very important that that they it's okay for them to look. Cool, I've got the rest of the question now. So it's very important that they do look, and they have to look. Now, I'm kind of thinking, I'll go back to years ago before I was enlightened with a little bit more knowledge. I thought I had a bit of knowledge back then, but then I realised over the years of teaching and dealing with a lot more horses and a lot more styles of horsemanship and different things and watching people and all sorts of things, you know, I've really started to think a lot about different things. And but once upon a time I used to just kind of ride them out, and these things had sort of settled down because I was gently sort of distracting them, redirecting them a little, and there was horses that got fixated, and but after a week or two every day of riding, they'd start to settle in. And they would always settle in, and I've had some really touchy horses, but that doesn't always happen. Now, why that doesn't always happen is because some horses always carry anxiety because they're troubled by the questions, the person, lots of different things, lack of clarity, okay? So a horse that suffers from a bit of lack of clarity, when it goes out on a trail ride, it's already carrying a little bit of anxiety, so all those things out there kind of bother it a lot more. So you have to take, and I know you, because I've met you at a clinic and helped you before, I know you've probably taken that on board and are thinking about that. Okay, is my horse doing really well with the tools? Is it comfortable with the reins? Is it comfortable with me? Does it really feel good about me? All those things in an environment where the horse has seen before, that it's accustomed to, you know, really sort of tap into that and see if that's the horse is good there. It may be going out, and it you know, it's a looky horse. Yes, it's a looky horse, and there's always going to be things on trail that get a horse to look, but the more confident the horse with all those things that I just talked about, the better it deals with things outside. So I would not just redirect her, I would actually, if she's kind of a little worried, and I know some people say don't turn it away from the object, it makes him run away, but you can actually turn your horse away and walk it somewhere else away so it gets a little further away, and then turn it so she can look. So if she's really, really frozen and things like that, I would tend to sort of turn her back. You know, when you're riding her out, you want to be feeling that she's taking you along a little bit instead of you making her go here and here, because there still might be a draw back to the yards and things like that that you've got to address. And that last question about the tacking and the flower and things like that, you can work on all that sort of stuff. And but basically, when she's confident with all your tools, then go out again. But I wouldn't take her as far afield straight away. I know you want a trail rider, and you can spend a bit of time doing a few trail rides. But maybe if she's a little too looky and a bit too much for you to sort of redirect the thoughts when she gets fixated, maybe don't go as far with her. Take her out into an environment close to her native environment and then bring her back. You might only do a 10-minute trail ride and take her back out again and bring her back. And then take her out somewhere else again and bring her back. And just slowly work on getting her further afield, but still having the safety of somewhere that she knows a little closer by. And spend a little bit more time doing that, because some horses take more time to develop, and there's no magic trick. It's more so just building up their confidence of just doing a bit every day or every second day, of getting them out, getting them back, surviving a ride without too much anxiety, and slowly building on their confidence. And as I say, your horse has got to be connected and understanding of all the things that you're asking it, a lot more than just, oh yeah, I'm turning, but I'm not really turning, I'm still over there. I'm, you know, so when you redirect it with reins, the reins have got to work, whether it be a backup or a turn, things like that. And then just wean her into those trail rides over a slightly longer period. Because some horses, you know, take months until they develop their a bit more confidence and, you know, and learning to carry us and all these other things and then go out, you know, really takes a lot of time. So, and there is no magic, you know, I wish there was. Some horses, you click your fingers, you do something's quite special and all of a sudden they centre, but not all the time. And yeah, you just, and in even all the hardest case Arabs and the Brumbies and stuff that I've started, there was a stage that they just started to cruise along confident, and they were still looking about, but that fixation and that anxiety got less, and that just got, and it was the more confident they got with me, the more confident they got with just being out carrying me. And that's also to do with a fair bit of exposure, but constant exposure with a horse that's anxious about us will not help them. They just stay bad. They just hold the brace forever. And that's why I see 20-year-old horses that can't go on a trail ride, is because they spend all their life not understanding the reins properly, not understanding our questions properly. So they are constantly anxious. So yeah, I hope that helps you, Dawn, and helps the other people, especially with the trail riding questions. The question before about the flower links into this very well. And just spend that bit more time. But the other thing that's really important too, Dawn, is on those horses that are a bit young, the thing that's going to build their confidence, I like trotting horses. When I used to ride horses out, when they got to a stage that they could walk out and look about a bit, then I'd do a lot of just nice trotting and things like that. And if you can do the trotting and the carrying you all kind of loose and, you know, all that around the safe environments, and get her so she can speed up and slow down and you get to a canter without worry and all that, then you know you're loose and comfortable with her, and it'll build your confidence a lot. And then when you take her out, you know you've ridden her at a bit of speed, you're sort of loosed up with her and you can ride her, and I think that's going to be good too. And then slowly build her confidence out, and then at least if she gets a spook or something like that, she's so used to you flopping around and riding her and stuff like that, that none of that's going to bother her if she jumps or anything like that, because you don't want a double whammy. So that's really important to look into. So thank you everybody for your questions. Now there is a question that I'm going to post that I missed last week, and I do apologize, I have to just go find that question. So I'm going to go live again in a couple of minutes, and it's just another I think it's an aggression question. So if anyone wants to hang about a bit, I'm going to answer that question. But I do apologize for not answering it in the last talk. I just overlooked it completely and was hang on, Barbara, I've got a question here. I've probably got time for another question. I'll just see if I can get that question to expand. See more? No, I can't get it to expand. Yeah, I can't expand that question, sorry, Barbara. But anyway, I will read your question if I can get it when it comes up later. So yeah, anyway, I'm gonna get the just come up live in a few minutes when I've just got the questions, but I'll just have to finish now and I'll start again. Thanks everybody, and I guess we'll be posting another live talk in another roughly about a fortnight. So see you all. Bye.